Hello, and welcome to a very special episode of Thirsty Thursdays presented by the Dollar Boys.
Yeah, this is what will furthermore be known as the Cromcast.
Yep.
We're really excited that our buddies in the band Crom from LA asked us to help promote their record that's coming out. By the time this posts, maybe in another month or so. Daryl and I have been fans of Crom for a while. And
I think you even turned me on to the brilliance that is Crom.
Oh, right. Yeah.
A long time ago.
So if anybody doesn't know the story, which maybe not a lot of people do, but I was tasked with taking a bunch of stuff to Amoeba Music in Hollywood at their old location. A bunch of stuff that was kind of not acceptable or rejected for review. Maybe.
That's a fair
description. I don't remember anything in there except for maybe like some Newfound Glory records. But so I took that to Amoeba and I was told to bring back something for each Daryl, Todd, and myself to with the earnings from the used stuff. And I earned a cool, who knows, it's something like $40 or something. Sick. Even though it was like two huge boxes of shit. And today they probably give you like $100 or something. But
I don't know. I went there pretty recently with a load of stuff. And
yeah. Well,
I didn't get no $100.
Yeah, well, I guess it all depends on what you take, but in any case, we were happy to get rid of this stuff, and I remember I bought, I got Todd a Young Governor 7-inch, I got you the Crom 7-inch, and I don't, honestly don't remember what I picked up, but the Crom record I was already familiar with, and it was a split with the Agoraphobic Nosebleed. At that point, Crom like had already put out an album, maybe like 4 years earlier, on a label from Germany called Blind Date, and it was CD only. So it was pretty exciting to see some Crom vinyl again, you know, because up until that point, the album. Jeez, what was the name of it? Their second album. We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
We'll check
the notes.
We're gonna get on our fact checkers. Up until that point, they like all their stuff was on vinyl, like mostly. So, actually, no, that's not true because the Cocaine Wars came out on CD only at the time too. So.
But I don't just like that Crom record 7-inch you gave me.
Right.
I think it's like one of my favorite records that I own. It's like this true fucking just like manifestation of just like how weird and bizarre you can get if you really want to. It's fucking incredible.
Yeah. I mean, they definitely have like cornered the whole, you know, just melding of like all these like crazy influences, like everything from like stoner rock to fucking, like there's like a ZZ Top sample on that record. That's pretty fucking cool. And you know, like what's the last song? The Tree of Woe. And goes out with the sample from that other who I don't even know who does that song.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, but it's a song I've definitely heard before. I won't sing it back, but
I've played that record for a lot of people and
just to like gauge their reaction.
Sometimes they get it, sometimes they do not.
Right. I mean, that's fine. But, you know, we've been really big fans, and I've lucky enough to meet Phil on a few occasions, and he's a really chill dude. He asked us to do this for him, like, you know, help him out with promoting a record. He's like, what does it cost, man? I'm like, it doesn't cost nothing, man. We're fucking fans. It's cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So we're going to play some songs that Phil was cool enough to share with us. These are, they're kind of like advanced songs, even though they've been previously released. The title of the record is called Early Shit 1994 through 2004. Spanning their compilation appearances, and there's also some demos and stuff on there. And these songs that Phil shared with us are not available just yet for download or for streaming. So he said, yeah, go ahead and share these with the listeners, and we're happy to do it.
Yeah, and we'll, because there's a pre-order up, right?
Yeah, by the time this or no, I'm sorry, there is a pre-order up now.
Well, yeah, we'll include a link,
definitely,
all that information.
Totally. And I'm also really excited because this is the return of Pessimizer Records.
Oh shit,
yeah, Pessimizer's putting this out, and
that's big.
Yeah, I thought I think the cassette version is going to be handled through To Live a Lie and maybe one other label. We'll check on that too. But yeah, Pessimizer, of course, is Chris from Despise You, and he's put out a ton of great shit over the years, and he's back at it. So this is going to be really, really, really fun to see.
Hell yeah.
This come to light. But so, without further ado, let's check out some Crumb.
Check it out.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Crumb. I'm going to read back all the songs that we just played. So we just played a song called TWGK. Before that, it was a song called The Flesh. Before that, it was a song called The Head of Tulsa Doom. Before that, was Valeria. Preceded by Fuck You Trilogy. Before that was I'm Crushing You, Wee Hours of the Snow Goat, Cigarette Death, S.O.R., and we started it off with Drinkers of Mung. And if you know what Mung is, then you're a sick bastard.
Like a mung bean?
No, I guess it would best be described as afterbirth.
Oh, interesting.
Which just goes to show their wonderful sense of humor. And let's see. Tulsa Doom is the name of James Earl Jones' character in the classic Conan the Destroyer, I believe.
Well, I just knew the band from New York that goes by the same name.
Okay. And that's also another thing I thought I should mention, that I think Crumb was pretty, I'm pretty sure Crumb was the first band to, you know, do the whole Conan worship thing without actually calling their band Conan, because there is a band called Conan, and they almost ripped off, like, the, or it, it, looks to me like they almost ripped off like their, you know, the whole aesthetic and the whole, maybe even like the band logo in a way.
Yeah, I can picture that.
And it's, but Crom was first to do it, and that's why we are saluting them.
Well, in a world of imitators, there's only one Crom.
Absolutely.
And there that's will. Why, you know, this is a Thirsty Thursday's first. We've never given one band an entire block of songs. I don't know if we'll ever do it again, you know?
I don't know that there's another band I'd want to do that for.
Crom, we will follow you to whatever precipice you lead us to.
Even if it means us jumping off of a building, you know, because you told us to.
I also saw the flyer that they're playing a show at Town Square in a couple months, and that's going to be a really fucking fun show.
Oh, yeah. They're playing with a band called Total Vacation that I reviewed in one of my last batches of records, and that band's really fucking good, so this show sounds like it's going to be pretty fucking amazing. So I've seen Crom a couple of times already. The last time was, 2 years ago, I think, at Rec Center, Human Resources. Yeah.
Very different places.
Yeah, definitely. And, God, it was just, that was an endurance, because they play with a bunch of bands, and I got there early so I could get in, because I think the tickets were like really limited, but they were great. They played the Cocaine Wars album in its entirety that night.
Wow.
It's really fun. Then the first time I saw them was a backyard show in Lenox. And this one was really, really, really interesting, because I guess they have friends there wasn't really a scene in Lenox at all, but there was a couple of folks out there who were kind of into this kind of noise. And one of them is my buddy Carlos Roveco, who recorded the Crom album, the Cocaine Wars album. And they have a friend named Juan, who also goes by Charlie. Charlie, at the time, was putting shows on at his place, like, and calling it The Hole. And it was, like, somewhere off of a really, like, a dead-end street in the middle of fucking Lenox. I was hanging out with some friends one night, and I get a phone call from a buddy of mine. He's like, "Hey, you know that band Crom?" Like, "Yeah, they're going to play right now. Mm-hmm. Get over here." I was only like about 5 minutes away. I'm like, "I'm there." Went there. I was almost kind of skeptical. I was like, "This can't be the same Crom. It just can't be." Sure enough, like, they played. There was a lot of people scratching their heads, not knowing, you know, what to make of it. But me and the couple of other folks that were there that knew, like, who they were, we were just like, "Fuck, this is great." That was really fun.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, what else?
Buy the record.
Yeah.
Pre-order the record.
It's going to be...
Scrounge around for all the records.
Yeah. I mean, they've been on a couple of compilations that were pretty crucial, like the first Reality compilation that also has bands like Spaz, Despise You, Excruciating Terror, like, you know, all the staple, like, second wave of power violence, if you want to call it that kind of stuff. If they come through your town, check them out. I don't know that they tour too much anymore,
Get Crom on the road, somebody. Yeah,
there you go. Like, start. Let's get them back on the road. Let's show the world what they're missing. But all hail Crom.
All right, now we move on to the rest of the show.
All right. We got a full house here. It's just me and Daryl tonight.
Yep.
And a box of something over here.
Zines.
Cool. What's up, zines? Been buying a lot of new records lately. A couple of months ago, I came across an email. I think it was from Total Punk. And they had the Zeros records. The famed 7 inches.
Reissues?
Yes.
Okay.
Pretty exciting because, you know, like, those records are really, like, insanely out of print. You cannot find a very, like, cheap copy of that at all anymore. And I'm not sure how limited these are, but I'm sure they're probably gone by now.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to track down a couple. So, well, we'll definitely be playing one of those. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, we'll be playing a whole bunch of stuff.
Cool. Got anything in mind, Daryl?
We'll figure it out. Then we'll talk about it after we play it.
Yeah, cool. That sounds like a plan.
But you're going to play the Zeros?
Let's play the Zeros.
Sounds good. He can feel the pursuit in. He's the insanity chance. You kind of look at how to do it. You still want romance. You say you love me, well, I just don't care. You see me smiling with the yank of your hair. I got this feeling I just can't compare. Beep, beep, get your heart out. Beep, beep, get your heart out. Beep, beep, get your heart out. You hang around my house just after midnight. I wish you'd go away. You can't be killed, but you get no deal out. For the sake of yourself, you can't be good. This is a bit. The farmer needs to don't give me no lip. Cause you're the one that I'm gonna hit. Beep, beep, get your heart out. Beep, beep, get your heart out. Your heart out, 'cause I'm in love.
Yeah.
And we're back.
We are back.
What we just listened to. That was Badlands with the track Our Hearts, Our Heads off the Floods LP that just came out on Bite the Cactus Records.
Yep.
It's a local talented group of people doing their thing.
Former members of
Cheeto Champ. And
yeah, actually.
Pangea.
There you go. I do remember those days. Cheeto Champ especially was pretty interesting because it was...
Oh, yeah. Emmy.
Emmy, who was in the band.
Shitbrains.
Called Shitbrains now, and they are just a fucking amazing grindcore band. And Cheeto Champ was not grindcore at all.
Not really.
And I probably wouldn't have, you know, ever guessed that anybody in that band would ever be in a grindcore band. But that's
well, awesome. I mean, think about what the members of Cheeto Champ went on to do.
You behavior. Have
behavior, yeah. Shit Brains, and Badlands.
Only two of those are a little similar, but
you think Behavior and Cheeto Champ are similar?
Well, I think Behavior and Badlands are a little similar. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, they're all
Behavior's pretty. Whole thing is that they're like atonal.
Yeah. They're I guess they all are pretty like unique in their own way. And they're all really good. I like all three bands a lot. All four bands, I should say. So yeah, it's great to hear stuff from Badlands. Before that.
Yeah. And I just gotta get this
housed
in this epic gatefold packaging. It really suits everything very well.
Nice. Yeah, I asked our friend Josh Rosa to pick up a copy of this for me at the record release show that happened a couple of weeks ago. And so he's only holding on to one of those for me. So really excited to get my own copy. Before that, we played a band called Warhead from Japan. The song is called Fight With No Fear off of the Cry of Truth 7-inch. This is obviously some kind of a sort of bootleg reissue kind of thing, like, because the original is like goes for quite a bit of money. Originally came out in sometime in the 80s. I originally heard Hell Nation cover a song, particular song, and they made it even more insane. I mean, this song is already fucking insane, but they made it even crazier. So shout out to Hell Nation, of course, always. Before that, we heard
Woods. This is another Filipino band that had a tape released on Twisted Red Cross Records and Middle Finger, which is a Filipino label, and Puke and Vomit, which is a California record label, just co-released this collection, the Armstock LP. And yeah, it's like one of the less straightforward releases from like Twisted Red Cross, where it's not really just like...
It's not a hardcore record.
It's not really. Definitely not hardcore, not even just like... When Vince sold it to me, he was like, don't rush into it. Like, let it sink in. Like, take some time with it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, interesting. He's never given me this...
Right.
Lecture before he gave me a record.
It's cool. It sounds kind of like, you know, almost like KBD sounding a little, like not exactly, you know, like not like a lot of other stuff, you know, like more of the more popular punk stuff from that era. So yeah, it's real interesting, real good.
Yeah, definitely worth taking your time with and wrapping your head around.
Hell yeah. And of course, we started it off with the Zeros. The song is called Beat Your Heart Out off of The Wild Weekend, back with Beat Your Heart Out 7-inch. This one was reissued by Munster Records, who put out the Monsters record, right?
I don't think so.
Huh. Then where do I know this label from?
They've done a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
Like, did you get that Danger House box set?
No. But is that them too?
Yeah, like them and Frontier did that.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Munster is around.
Are they from Germany?
I don't know. Somewhere in Europe.
The only thing I know about Munster is that Munster is a kind of cheese, and we sell it at the deli that I work at. And
what do you think about Munster cheese?
It's good. It's pretty tasty. It melts really good. But I will say that growing up as a kid in LA, poor as shit, I didn't know what Munster cheese was when I started working in the deli, and I was like, you mean there's more than two kinds of cheese in this world? So that was pretty funny. But yeah, Munster cheese is good. And the Munster label is pretty good too.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Shout out to Munster. You have to guess which one I'm giving a shout out to.
The only one that you would consume. That you can stomach. Yeah. Okay. So got another special little treat for you here. This is the Charles Bronson 2023 mix of their classic Youth Attack album from 1997. Their swan song, their magnum opus. They broke up right after this record was released and didn't tour behind it. I think they did one last show, but I don't think it was, you know, to commemorate this release. It was just, they were just like, well, we're done. We're out of here. And this record has been out of print for ages. I believe in 2000, Coalition Records did a 10-inch version of this. God. And it was one of the first records that I bought that I was... I want to say that I bought a record player specifically to play this record, because I had up until this point I was mostly just buying CDs, and when I found out that there was a reissue of the Charles Bronson album, I had to have it. So I bought it, and my mission after that was to buy a record player. So I bought a record player, and my head was blown off, and yeah, it's been out of print forever. Youth Attack finally took the reins and reissued it. Originally, the very first pressing was on Langoir Mala Records from Chicago, because they were, even though they weren't exactly from Chicago, they were like considered a Chicago area band. Some of the members might have lived in Chicago, but
I mean, Langoir Mala doesn't only release records from bands from Chicago.
No, but at the time I think it was like
it was only Chicago bands,
strictly or mainly Chicago bands. In any case, it's been long overdue. This is a very special mix of the album that is supposed to give it like a much more fuller, crazier sounding like tone to it, and yeah, I'll say it does sound like pretty great. I mean, and nothing against the original mix. The original mix is still really fucking wild and awesome. So if you can track down a copy, I suggest that you do, because it's a very, very classic hardcore record. And nothing, I guarantee you, nothing sounds like this. Like these days, nothing is coming out like this. Yeah. And that's the way that it should be, because this band is just classic. So here we go. Charles Bronson.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm
And we're back. That was Idaho Green with their song Dreaming of Double Ashley off the 7-inch that they just released. And Idaho Green, a band from that at the time was from Montana that I met in North Dakota that now lives in New York. A lot of states
involved. So they're not from Idaho?
Not and never were.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But I guess that's fine because I don't know anybody who would want to be from Idaho.
You know, I've been to Boise a couple times and I've always had a good time.
But, okay. Well, you're probably the only person that's ever said that. I'm just kidding. Before that, we played Canal Irreal or Canal Irreal, whichever you prefer. Song's called I Failed. The Someone Else's Dance LP on Beach Impediment. This is, of course, a band featuring Martin from Los Grudos, although you could never tell because he's doing a completely different vocal style, which I'm sure is a little easier on his throat. And there's members of C Northern in this, and they're not doing hardcore. It's some pretty cool, like, fucking post-punk kind of. That I was not expecting because Beach Impediment put it out, and Beach Impediment is usually like putting out like crazy hardcore stuff, you know. And
but they've also put out like the Gentleman Jesse record.
That's true. Yeah, they put out a few things that aren't quite like the other stuff they put out. Excuse me, but
Beaks.
There you go, Beaks. Lemur. Yeah, this is really a really pleasant surprise because it came with I ordered a couple of other records with this, and this is the one that really stood out to me. I already proclaimed it kind of being early contender for album of the year for me, but the year is still young, so you know.
Yes, we'll just see who survives to the end of the year to make the best of.
That I'll never post.
What was your favorite record from 2023?
Probably the TV Repairman album. That one was really, really good. And I was a little late to the game with that one. My brother turned me on to the band, but I was also lucky enough to catch them while they were touring LA and just confirm what I already knew, I had already heard, which is that they were really, really good. Solid band. What'd you play before that?
Before that was Come Closer, kind of a oddball track on the record, but I definitely appreciate how noisy it is. You might recognize the members from Dan Padilla and Tilt Wheel.
Interesting. Yeah, it has it kind of has like a fluff vibe to it, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, San Diego.
There you go.
Yeah, we died with Prince. But as people who put together a punk fanzine, you know.
Some of us are...
It's not dead yet, let's just say.
There you go. Like, there's still some Prince stuff going on. Of course, we started off with Charles Bronson. The song is called The Painful Yet Unavoidable Death Star Comparison off of the Youth Attack LP. Look for it somewhere. It's probably
on Discogs.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to find it in stores anymore. Sorry.
Why don't they just make more records?
They probably will. This record should really be like a lot more available. Like, it's, I guess, I don't know. Fuck. What is even, like, you know, a good pressing number nowadays? Because before it used to be like, I think it was pretty commonplace to press something of like in 1,000 copies or 2,000 copies, and you know, and it would last a good while. And now it seems like, you know.
Well, it's just like Are you pressing limited quantities because you want people to strive to own the limited quantity? Or are you pressing limited quantities because you can't sell that many records?
I think that it's a little bit of both. I'm not sure what, I can't say for sure what the youth attacks angle is, but I feel like nowadays it's just commonplace to play, to press in smaller numbers, not only because, you know, they're kind of concerned about being able to move these copies, but also just because it's really expensive to press vinyl nowadays. And whereas it used to be kind of like pennies to the dollar, like maybe like 15 years ago, now it's like, it's insane.
Dollars to the dollar.
Yeah, there you go. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. I'm just glad I never started a record label. Or
you did start a record label.
I'm glad we didn't do more than one record. and I really had nothing to do with it. That was all Scott from Scaredy Cat.
Shout out to Scott.
Shout out to Scott Stanner.
Wow, it's been a while since I heard from Scott.
Scott's a cool fucking guy.
Hit me up.
Hell yeah. All right. We're doing another set, or what are we doing?
Yeah, let's do one more set.
Cool. Is it my turn? It's my turn. Let's see, what are we going to play? We're going to go with a snooper. Tennessee band? They are part of the revival of egg punk.
Egg punk revival.
Yeah.
It's just what we needed.
Yeah. It's coming to save us all. They put out some really cool shit, like that was like cassette only. And then some 7 inches, and then Third Man Records got a wind of them, and the hype sticker has words by none other than Henry Rollins, the biggest egg punk fan of them all.
The original egg punk. Yeah.
But it's really cool. I'm going to play their cover of Suburban Lawns. A Suburban Lawns song.
Okay.
It's really fun. So check it out.
Maybe Suburban Lawns are the original egg punk.
Maybe they were. But I would say everybody models himself after Devo. So right. Maybe Devo's. Like Devo, maybe Dow Jones and the Industrials.
Yeah, no, it's all Devo and Dow Jones and Industrials.
There you go. So, yeah. Super. Super.
Keep it back.
Okay, what's up? All right, that was the Red Dawns, which maybe you're pretty familiar with at this point. You know, they've been around for a while, released a lot of great records. And this is their most recent one called Generations, and just someone named Devin Jorgensen does the vocals on that song. And
any relation to Al Jorgensen?
Probably not. No.
Okay. Just checking.
But yeah, you know, just appreciate how there's always been like this, you know, revolving cast of characters who have participated in the Red Dawn Collective, and you know, sometimes they just have some other guy singing a song, and
that's keeps just, us on our toes.
That's just what you get.
Yeah,
and even like the songs on the A side are like kind of moody, kind of different. And when they played those shows out here recently, I was talking to Daniel, and he was saying, "Oh yeah, we've actually had those songs for like a really long time, but like we never felt like they fit on a record until now." And it's just like, it's just interesting to watch a band exist over this long length of a time, and just like continue to just kind of like operate on their own terms and just like do their own thing and just make great music.
Yeah, I mean they've been a band longer than the Observers were, but by far. And the Observers also lives very vividly in our minds, I'm sure. As well as other people, it's like, because they were such a great band, and the Red Dawns is, you know, a pretty logical step afterwards, you know.
Yeah, but just kind of like, kind of relax the rules of what a band is a little, and be like, well, you know, people can come, people can go, and we can collaborate with other people, and like, you know, it doesn't have to be such a personal thing. It's just like, it's a collaborative effort.
Yeah. They're the open relationship of bands.
Okay.
And it works. Because it usually doesn't. But, okay. Anyway. Before that, I played Alaska y los Pegamoides. Don't ask me what that means. I have no idea. The song is called No Sé Por Qué, off of their Grandes Éxitos LP. I was at Amoeba not too long ago, and I was just kind of at a loss. So there's times where I go in there, and I'm like, I don't really know what I'm looking for, but when I find it, I'll know. And I was just happened to... Still getting used to the layout of the new Amoeba because they keep trying to, they keep changing, like
changing it.
Yeah, they keep changing where stuff is, and
that's not cool.
Yeah, I was looking for the reggae ska stuff. Don't tell Renee that I was looking at the ska stuff.
I think Renee likes ska,
but I was looking for that stuff and I couldn't find it, and I stumbled across the Latin section, which is, this isn't even really Latin, this is European, but it was in the Latin section because they sing in Spanish, and cool shit. It's like members of Parálisis Permanente, another really cool fucking punk band from Spain that was very short-lived because unfortunately the singer of the band Parálisis Permanente died tragically when at the age of 22. So who knows what could have been, but he left some great music behind, and this is one of the bands he was in, and it's really good shit.
Yeah, the people on the cover of that record just have an incredible look to them too.
Yeah, I mean, they were, you could say, they were the original chain punks. And they probably didn't identify as punk at all.
especially like the three scratches.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Those are pretty gnarly. Yeah. What did we play
before? That was Knife Manual, which features our Razor Cake brother, Ty Stranglehold.
Absolutely.
And when you read those lyrics, it's just like, it just reads like having a hilarious conversation with Ty Stranglehold. It's so great.
Yeah. We, I was able to hang out with Ty a couple of times out here. Once here at HQ and once at, the Sardine, for, Neighborhood Brat show. It was, I think they call it Ty Fest because, everybody was there. All the bands that were playing were, favorites of Ty. And yeah, Ty's a great guy, and he gave me a copy of this too, and I really liked it too. I've just, keep forgetting, like, to bring it with me. So I'm glad you brought it, because I would have hated to, not give it its due diligence. It's a great record, and Ty's also, of course, been in other great bands, including Angry Snowmans and Who's Cow.
Yep. And so this is Knife Manual step one. So I'm sure we can expect step two.
Yeah.
Very shortly.
Nice. And we started it off with Snooper and the song Unable off of the Super Snooper LP, which has, I don't know if we mentioned this. Did we mention this? Has a Henry Rollins.
Yeah, we talked about endorsement. That.
Okay. Yeah. It was.
What did he say? I didn't see the sticker.
Hold on, let me find that real quick. But he basically said that it was good. But let's get a closer look.
All right, he's looking inside the jacket for. I'm assuming he cut the hype sticker off of the, and put it inside the jacket.
There it is.
All right, here we go. Straight from the mouth of Black Flag's second worst vocalist. Snooper is a band who, in a 33 and a third RPM world, make 45 RPM music. They play at 78, and it completely works.
And it does.
Yeah. You know what? I remember when you put that on, there was some question about the speed of the record.
Yeah.
So I think he's onto something there.
Yeah, there you go. It works. In other words, you can play it at both speeds and it'll still probably be enjoyable.
All three speeds, apparently.
There you go. 78. Who fucking has 78s anymore?
All right, what are we closing the show out with?
Okay. It's interesting. We came back to Henry Rollins because I was thinking of something that I might have heard on going back to Crom. Of course, Phil from Crom did a radio show called Hour of the Goat. Hour of the Goat was Phil and Chris Elder, or Chris from Despise You and Pessimizer. They did their radio show, and then they handed it over to Naomi. Naomi did called the show Darth Vader's Discotheque, and then she passed it on to a guy named Carlos. Carlos did the Crom record, and I think actually those are also his drums on the Cocaine Wars album. Carlos used to play a lot of really cool shit, and I think I spent most, like, I never got to check out Hour of the Goat, and I only heard Darth Vader's Discotheque with Naomi in it a few times, but I was also really into her show. But Carlos was the guy whose show I caught the most, and he used to play every now and then, like, on more than one occasion. He'd play a band called American Psycho Band, who covered My War by Black Flag. And it's a really fucking demented version of it. So I thought I'd close it out with that kind of.
Cool.
Bringing the Crom full circle, you know. And then you want to do another one after that?
Well, I don't.
Or are we
should
doing?
Should we close it out right there?
Nah, let's go ahead and close it out with this. going back to the agoraphobic nosebleed and Crom split.
Yeah. So yeah, we're just gonna play Tree of Woe 2,
which is the second version of a song. Or I guess you could say a reworking of a song that they did on a, I believe it was Cry Now, Cry Later, Volume 3 or 4, one of those two. And they re-recorded this for a split with Agoraphobic Nosebleed.
How is one to live if one doesn't want to die? Is the question that Crom proposes.
Actually, I do have a question for you, Daryl.
Okay.
What is best in life?
Is this a question. Conan question?
Yes.
I've never seen Conan.
Okay, I'll tell you. It's to crush your opponents, to see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of the women. And we can only give a hint to those, but yeah, that is what's best in life, according to Conan. And,
well, Kurt Rambis is right behind.
Well, Kurt Rambis is a whole nother story. I also like that on the Cocaine Wars, they have a song called Bring Me the Foot of Cole Ford. And when I first heard that record, I had no idea who Cole Ford was. First, because the internet wasn't as prevalent. So I don't think Google was around back then. There were search engines, but there was no Google. So,
oh, right, yeah.
You know, it wasn't like you kind of, like not everything was.
Alta Vista or something.
Or Yahoo or some shit. And, you know, so you can find definite answers quickly. Finally, looking up Cole Ford. Cole Ford was a very short-lived kicker for, I believe, the Raiders or the Rams. Or
those both check out.
Yeah. Well, it might have been the Raiders because the Raiders were still a football team at the time. Or an L.A. football team. He blew a field goal. And the song says, bring me the foot of Ford Cole. And then he's like, you motherfucker. You cost us a season. That shit's fucking hilarious. So, again, shout out to Crom. Shout out to Phil. Shout out to
this episode has been brought to you by Crom, only in the sense that they've made great music throughout the years that fuels our degenerate brains,
and of course, you know, provides endless hours of entertainment, and of course, they have a great sense of humor.
Yeah, which you know is. Apparently fueling a lot of research on the side.
Yeah. And one last thing. If anybody can, going back to Cocaine Wars, because it's just such a great album, but there's so many things about that record that I keep uncovering. For example, when I first heard the album, the opening riff is from the band Leeway from...
Oh shit!
From New York. It's not a Crom riff. So they totally duped me on that because in 2000 I hadn't yet heard Leeway. Or maybe 99. I can't remember what year. But then also, not too long ago, I was just on this weird kick of looking shit up on YouTube. And one day I stumbled across Headbangers Ball, Headbangers Ball had like somebody uploaded a bunch of episodes and like onto YouTube. And one night I was just like, I'm going to just watch this and see if I come across anything really fucking cool, which I did. But there was a song on there, and I think it was from Merciful Fate. And I don't remember which song exactly is on for Necrom record, but it's another one of those things where they
just lifted it.
They lifted the riff, and you fooled me again. But so if anybody knows all of the little Easter eggs on this record, I'd love to hear it, because I know most of them, but I don't know all of them for sure. And that is the beauty of Crom.
Shout out to Crom.
Absolutely.
I should continue. lie which each of us lives. That lie becomes the basis of the deepest truth we can know about ourselves.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Anyone has the potential to be a Raise Creek contributor? If you don't see or hear, but you'd like covered, lend us a helping hand. If you're knowledgeable about DIY punk, are open to the editing of your work, can meet deadlines and follow instructions, we'll definitely consider your contribution. Drop us a line at razorcake.org/contact. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to support what we do, please order a subscription of Razor Cake to Razor Cake magazine at razorcake.org/subscribe. Get 112 pages of DIY straight to your door every 2 months. Interviews, articles, comics, and reviews of bands that you definitely aren't going to find at the checkout lane or even those fake indie websites. razorcake.org/subscribe. This podcast is supported by the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors through the Los Angeles County Department of Arts and Culture. Any findings, opinions, or conclusions contained herein are not necessarily those of our grantor.